The irony, though, is that if they succeed, if they actually do tear this country down, dismantle it as they want to, then the luxury and freedom and comfort that they take for granted really will disappear. And they will finally get the authentic version of the oppression that they so desperately want.
Matt Walsh speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Unless we as the rational, we as the moral, we who understand objective truth, objective morality, unless we stand in the way for their sake and for our own.
You can watch and listen to Matt Walsh's presentation, Making the Case Against Woke Culture, with a recording of the 2020 Making the Case conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Everyone knows, not everyone will admit, that there is something wrong with the family. When we have fatherlessness, when we have out-of-wedlock births, that now run into, well, alarming percentages. Everyone knows something's wrong. Some people like it. They want it to be that wrong. They want the family to be that broken. They have an agenda against the family. But most of us realize the family is the foundation of a free society. What do we do to restore the family, and why is government not the answer? It can help, but why is it not the source of family restoration? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about restoring the American family. Tim Gagline joins us. He's Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., formerly served as a special assistant to President George W. Bush. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled Saving America's Broken Families Begins One Faithful Life at a Time. Tim, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. A real pleasure.
Refresh our memory on the recent report released by the U.S. Senate regarding families.
You bet. Well, it may be the most underreported, important report to come from the U.S. Senate, Todd, I think in the last 10 years. The Senate essentially released a very important report on the state of the American family. And very unfortunately, the news was not very good. The report went into great detail about the decline of the two-parent family and how the ramifications of that very sobering decline are affecting the current generation of American children. And in all of my work in the Senate, at the White House, now at Focus on the Family, family, marriage, parenting has been a very central concern. And so to read a report like this, which is heavy in the good way on empirical data and a measured response to how America's families are faring, I thought was a very important and in one sense, a very historically important report with the stamp of the U.S. Senate.
How do you think the family got to this point as it's portrayed in this picture in this report?
It's hard to believe for a particular rising generation of young Americans who are living in this summer of rage and anxiety. But America went through a historic social, moral unraveling in the 1960s and 70s. It was a social upheaval not seen at any time in American history until then. I mentioned on a program with you recently a report that I have since gone back and read cover to cover. And I think, Todd, it is the best answer to your very important question, how did we get here? In the mid-1960s, a little-known sociologist who went on to become a very famous U.S. Senator, Pat Moynihan, he began to see troubling trends in the American black family. In 1965, he found that 25% of all black children were born out of wedlock, and he called it a crisis. And in that very important report in 1965, Pat Moynihan said, you know, if these trends continue, we are going to witness perhaps historically important collapse in the concept of what it means to be an intact nuclear family. He could not have been more prophetic. You know, it's a very short distance, you know, a mere 56 years between 1965 and 2020. And what we have seen as a result of the destruction of the American family and marriage and the traditional concept of parenting is an explosion of out-of-wedlock birth. And I think that this is, in one sense, the heart and soul of much of the social anxiety and lack of cohesion that we see in America in 2020.
Are there groups and movements today that are actively working to dismantle the family?
There are, absolutely. I think any group, any institution, which does not have as its core social cohesion, stability, and continuity with a laser-like focus on young children is part of the problem and not part of the solution. You know, it was not very long ago, and this is not wistful, this is not nostalgia, this is not sentiment, but it was not long ago that people of goodwill of both of our major political parties, people of goodwill in mainline Christianity, American Catholicism, all the branches, really, the major branches of what you and I would say are American religion, all of our major cultural, social, educational, legal institutions, they all agreed on one big thing, and they agreed that that there was an ideal social model of a married father and mother raising their biological or adopted children with an extended family that was identifiable, that young children knew where they fit into this narrative in the life of their family. And it was not just about the present. You know, Edmund Burke, the great philosopher, has this idea of the living, the dead, and the not yet born. This is a beautiful, and I would say godly, biblical picture for family. Whether you are a Christian or not, this was always the social model of what the family was. And to your point, Todd, what we have seen now is we have seen an institutional push against family. And in fact, as recently as the last 2 months, there have been noted essays, analyses, stories quite in opposition to family. And so I think we can overwhelmingly say that, yes, among all the polarities in America of 2020, there no longer remains an institutional agreement on what constitutes the healthy raising of American children.
You quote James Q. Wilson on how to restore a culture. What does he say?
You know, James Q. Wilson, Jim Wilson, was one of the great sociologists of American history. And Jim did not begin his sociology or demography rooted in a kind of a conservative Christian or Judaic-Christian ethos of what constituted a worldview. And this, I think, in many ways, makes him invaluable to those of us who are Christians. He was able to study empirical social data over long periods of time and to draw up important conclusions. And Jim Wilson wrote an article which I think is one of the greatest analyses on family ever written. It's called Why We Don't Marry. And he said that the right and best way for a culture to restore itself is for it to be rebuilt. He says, not from the top down by government policies, but from the bottom up by personal decisions. He says that on the side of that effort, we can find churches, or at least many of them, and the common experience of adults that the essence of marriage is not sex or money or even children. It is commitment. And this spine and narrative of commitment between husbands and wives, which has always in the American experience been the norm, it's always been the gold standard, it is this norm and gold standard that Jim Wilson has written about so beautifully in his dedication to the concept of commitment in marriage that has been so fundamentally broken for millions of Americans. And that brokenness has resulted in so much of the social dysfunction and chaos that we are witnessing in marriage, family, parenting, but in American culture today.
Tim Gagline is our guest. We're talking about restoring the American family. He's Vice President of Government and External Relations for Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C. Why can government programs never be the source of the family's restoration? We'll answer that question next. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Ars Moriendi, the art of dying well. If death is the punishment for sin, then how does one die well? Well, that's the question we ask and answer in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness. We ask and answer the most common questions, fears, and doubts faced by Lutherans and Christians as they approach death. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Ad Crucem is proud to support Christian education for students of all ages. We offer posters of the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther's morning and evening prayers, the Three Creeds, the Small Catechism, and more. Additionally, we offer baptism, confirmation, and marriage certificates. Stock up now for the new school year and ensure your learning environment is distinctively Lutheran with these quality products. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
What he was doing was this time-honored practice of civil religion in America where you blend Christianity with American ideals, and it's always at the loss of Christianity.
The Equality Act is a nuclear bomb on faith communities and any communities or individuals who have a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality.
You need a household that is firm, that has to stand against many things, and the temptation to forsake the Lord's word for the world's priorities is immense.
Things the church repents of are going to be the things that are articulated in Scripture as those things that are most damning. And that means we can't dance to the world's tune on repentance priorities.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites in their entirety for you. After you've heard them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Your vote will decide which of those four will be Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about restoring the American family. Tim Gagline is our guest. Tim, why can government programs never be the source of the family's restoration?
You know, I think, Todd, that we have the ultimate example of why government can never be the institution that will fix the family. And it's called the Great Society. After the tragic assassination of John Kennedy in 1963, it was an almost given, and of course it came to be, that his vice president, Lyndon Johnson, would become the president. And with the sympathetic outpouring of Americans, along with LBJ, came a House and a Senate that essentially gave him a veto-proof majority on all major legislation. And his number one goal was the Great Society. It was the historic upbuilding and intrusion of the federal government in corners of American life where it had never previously had so much as a scintilla of a role, beginning, of course, with the American family, extending into education and every sector of American life. And the Great Society is the best example we have of what happens when you pour billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money into trying to fix the fundamental institutions of a healthy culture. And what we have found after billions of dollars spent since the Great Society is that every social indicator of marriage, family, parenting has declined, and most dramatically so in our urban and metropolitan areas. When our society decided, attended to the Great Society, to move away from seeing marriage specifically as a secular contract that can, you know, simply be torn up if one member does not feel happy or fulfilled and be incentivized for it by government, that is a toxic brew.
Can government programs, if implemented carefully enough, can they help?
My view is that at the margins, if we begin with the concept of what constitutes strong parenting, what constitutes healthy bonds of family and marriage, at the margins, I believe that the government, but I think most fundamentally government at the most local level, I think it can be an aid or a help in limited, highly limited circumstances. But overall, I believe very strongly that the more that we tie government policy to how families are strengthened or weakened, I think we almost always witness a weakening. And I think most dramatically, to take one step back to the Great Society, when government fundamentally became involved in marriage, what it did is it began to disincentivize mothers and fathers of common biological children staying together. Going back to Jim Wilson, this idea of commitment was fundamentally disincentivized by the federal government. And I think that this has been an absolute disaster, overwhelmingly and in large numbers, for broken families and broken lives.
So are there specific government programs or laws that we should adamantly oppose if we want to reverse the damage done to the family by bad policy and law?
Yeah, I believe the answer is most definitively yes. And I would recommend, I would counsel the writers and the researchers of this very important Senate document to build upon the findings that they draw and begin to think about what kind of legislation can begin to dismantle current government programs that disincentivize strong marriage, strong parents, and strong families. And I can think of a very important one, one that I think has done great damage. And that is that we should not disincentivize people who are receiving federal government help from being married. And it seems almost Orwellian, but there are government programs which actually penalize a mother of children if she is married to the biological father of her children. I remember speaking about this a little over a year ago, and after I spoke, there was a woman who came up to me afterward, and she said that she was absolutely certain that she had not heard me properly, and indeed she had. And I think that this is one of the great irrationalities about government getting too involved in institutions always wanting to, in air quotation marks, help, when at the end of the day, government has not been a help, but it's been a kind, manifestly, of a wrecking ball for so much that is important in American family life.
Should we see the restoration of marriage as a multi-generational project?
I'm so glad you asked that, Todd. The answer is absolutely yes. The British writer Evelyn Waugh once posited that institutions which can take hundreds and even thousands of years to build can often be brought down in a matter of hours, days, weeks, or months, and that all of the accumulative wisdom that it took to build those institutions can collapse, it seems like overnight, almost like a house of cards. And I believe that, in fact, if we are going to reverse these sobering numbers, I think we have to start by something that government can never do. We have to understand that it's going to take generations to restore marriage, family, and parenting, and that we must start by renewing our faith as a nation. Indeed, the most important thing to say is that it is faith that is the essential part of solving the breakdown of marriage and family. You know, when church attendance declines, marriages decline with it. But the restoration of marriage in the family, I think, starts with each of us as individuals as well. And there's no more important factor in any of this than the restoration and the centrality of faith in a country like ours.
Tim Gagline is Vice President of Governmental and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C. He formerly served as a special assistant to President George W. Bush, and he's author of a column for The Federalist titled Saving America's Broken Families Begins One Faithful Life at a Time. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tim, thank you.
Such a pleasure, Todd. Thanks so much.
In hour two, on this Friday, September the 4th, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we'll be looking at Joel Osteen's sermon, You Are Good Seed. Pastor Chris Roseborough, creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got our four sound bites ready to go. We'll be playing them in about a half hour, and you can vote for one of them to be Soundbite of the Week and win the LPR bundle package. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesztc.org is our email address, our Twitter address at issuesztc, and our Facebook fan page where you can vote in advance, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.